Balcony's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.
Welcome to, what do I say?
Spirited conversation with interesting people.
Welcome to this week's episode of Whiskey Neat, Spirited Conversations with Interesting People. I am your host, Christopher Hard. And yes, that's correct. Todd Groob's here. Mike Salopek's here. I sound like Sean Evans in Hot Ones. That's exactly how I deliver messages. You guys are here. I needed a break this year, or this year, this week. I needed a break this week.
It is a new year.
It's a new decade. Dad jokes. I have a huge couple of weeks ahead of me, a lot of big names coming on, and I wanted a good old-fashioned bottle share. There's a lot to talk about. Specs did something unprecedented for the first time ever in Texas, and it went off so well. They could not have done a better job. Hats off to Brittany Damask and all the distributors that helped, and of course, Chris Detmore, the main buyer at Specs. This weekend, they dropped like 20 barrels. They did something they've never done, which we'll explain more. More than 500 people showed up. They sold more product than they've ever sold in an hour. And it was just this unprecedented, legendary, awesome, exciting time in Houston that has caused quite a bit of confusion. And we were very happy to be a part of it. So we talk about the Specs drop. We talk about a bunch of other picks that are dropping all at once, or did drop all at once, and a few things coming up. And yeah, so I'm just joined by friends, and we have a great, good old-fashioned conversation. This week's show is, as always, sponsored by Terlato Distill Artisan Spirits, leader in premium artisan products like Bunahabin, Deanston, Lecheg, Tobermory, Baines, Black Bottle, and of course, Scottish Leader. You can pick up the entire line at your local liquor store, or if you are a retailer, reach out to your United Wine and Spirits rep. Last but not least, our friend, our family, Glass Rev Imports. Whiskey Neat is supported by the Inspired Spirits at Glass Rev Imports and Amroot Distilleries. Amroot crafts one of the most award-winning Indian single malts to the exacting standards of Scotch. Amroot Fusion also received the double gold blind and scored a jaw-dropping 96 points by judges at the Proof Awards. Amroot single malt whiskey is widely available across America, and especially in their number one state, number one market, that's Texas. We are working desperately to try to do an Amroot project with them. I would love to do a single barrel, a sherry project. They do just exceptional stuff, and we couldn't be happier that they're part of our family. So we didn't get to talk about Al Young. So I'll mention it now. Rest in peace, Al Young. He is now our third guest that has passed. Al Young was a legend in this industry and overwhelmingly loved. I went back and looked at our stats the past week, and we saw a huge spike of that episode. Mm-hmm. People are Al Young. It's really, really hard to put yourself out there as the face of anything and not receive constant criticism. And somehow, there's two people I know that get away with it. Pasha Morshetti. Everybody loves Pasha. He's the face of that. No one has any problems with him. You can't but love the guy. And it's always interesting to me when someone has a business, and not only do you speak so highly of them and thank them for all that they do while handing them over a ton of your money. like you are giving this bar, like someone thanked Mike Williams from Longhorn Liquor about everything he does. And as a business owner, all he does is focus on bringing good product to market. There's nothing super complicated about what he does, although that's not to downplay what he does. What he does is incredible. This is the most ambitious. He's younger than me, I think. I think he's 30, 31, 32. The most ambitious liquor store owner who is so in tune with the whiskey market. I love the guy. I couldn't be a bigger fan of Mike. I have a funny story to tell you about him early on when he first wanted to get involved. I forgot.
Save that for later.
Yeah, I'll tell you later. But people are so quick to thank these people for what they're doing. while also handing over their check, when it should be the other way around. Like, thanks for being a supporter. That's how impactful Mike is. That's how impactful Pasha Morshetti is. They focus on their consumer, and they couldn't be happier for it. Al is not in it for the business. He doesn't have sales quotas. He wasn't trying to sell anything. He just was a fan of bourbon. He just was a long-standing, loving legend in this industry.
And he was so humble. He would come
so
out.
So humble.
He would pack up the Four Roses, you know, the whole table that they would set. He would actually help and
That's
do that
awesome.
Himself.
Yeah.
And Great he was guy. And he was young. I mean, he was not young. He was fairly old. And to be able to do that, the Whiskey Social every year is a long event. I'm there for about 20 hours. And he and the Four Roses team get there early. They set up almost before anyone else. I mean, the level of dedication is just off the charts. So my hat's off to Al Young. May he rest in peace. And my condolences to his family. Mm. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
Todd, thanks for coming back. You got to be our number one guest, right? How long has he been on? Five times? Six times?
Well, including the...
The three-day trip, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
You didn't go to that, right? No. You're going with me this weekend,
next
though,
year.
Yeah? We're going to New Orleans this weekend.
Oh, that's right? Awesome.
I'm trying to lock in an interview with Tom Welling and Michael Rosenbaum.
I don't know who those are.
Smallville. He was Superman.
Oh, okay. I never watched that show.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So when I was a freshman in high school, it was in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
That's the year the show started in which he plays a freshman in high school. So we went to high school together, basically.
Yeah.
And right. At the time, he was like 25 yeah. years old and married. And I
feel like we're brothers. I'm just going to walk up and...
And hug him immediately. So they're also going to be in town. And then the Sam Heughan thing, which I'm super excited about.
That's
cool. I need a drink. Let's do this.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
For those who don't know, which will kind of be talked about in the intro, there was this massive thing that happened this weekend. Or last weekend, and that was at Specs and Smith Street. In fact, this episode's going to be titled Specs/HBS's Mega Barrel Drop, whatever you want to call it. There's a video on YouTube of the line. We haven't talked about this, have we? All right, so everyone in that watches this show is familiar with barrel picks. Barrel picks are the cream of the crop of what you want to buy at a store. You don't want a blend or a batch as much as you want a hand-picked single barrel. And what you have in front of us are a bunch of these hand-picked single barrels, several of which dropped this weekend at Specs. Now, typically when you do barrel picks, you want to drop them one at a time and space them apart so that there's not, you know, there's only X amount of dollars in the pool, but you want people to have access to it. Believe it or not, it is surprisingly easy to piss people off at these things.
No way.
And if you release too much at once and... You know, people can't afford all of them. That they're like, well, why can't you space these out a little bit so we give us a chance to pick these up? And so we were a little nervous that it was going to work, but it could not have gone better. You didn't go, right?
No, I was out of town, unfortunately.
Yeah, I saw Todd in the line. But essentially what happened was Specs made the announcement. We've been working. In fact, I think we're the only group in the state that works with Specs regularly. And there's been some growing pains trying to explain and make the connection between how these groups work and that it's really just anyone can join mm-hmm. and as long as they're a real account and they and they answer the questions and they aren't a jerk. If they're a jerk, we remove them from the group. But oftentimes it doesn't happen until they're a jerk, right? You don't know until the bridge has been burnt. So, Chris Detmore and his right-hand woman, Brittany Damask, they had been working on this idea, and they created what you would call almost like the places that process cows? Oh, a slaughterhouse?
A slaughterhouse?
Where they created like a
I'm sure that's exactly the term they would have wanted.
Yeah.
For marketing terms. They created a chute of literally 500 people that literally, and they just lined the path.
That actually is a good word.
With tables.
Yeah.
Slaughterhouse.
Whatever it's called.
With the barrel picks.
That's right.
And Specs released 10 different whistle pig picks that have never been done before. Several, I think OWA, mm-hmm. Eagle Rare, two different Blanton's picks, at least two different Blanton's picks. There might have been more because there's still Blanton's mm-hmm. left.
Oh, man.
Two Weller Foolproof, and people lined up as early as 2:30 in the morning. And I'll send you the link of the video if you could slip this in here somewhere. Right here.
I thought I was, the time I woke up, I thought I would be early. I didn't think I'd be the first person there. So I woke up at 20 after 5 and quickly jumped up and got dressed and got there at about 5:45. And the whole one side of the building was already full.
Yeah, they were already about 75 people deep.
Yeah, I was like 60 or 70 in line at that point.
That is so
people
crazy.
Were playing cornhole. People that told me that they weren't getting there till later, like no one wanted to say what time they were going.
Sure.
Like really? Including my friends.
I mentioned a tailgate. I said we should just do a tailgate. The problem is if you do a tailgate, that implies you not being in line. So then people would get there before. Oh, we're doing a tailgate at 7. All right, yeah. I'm getting there at 5.
Right? Yeah.
So we tried to avoid that, and the let's go ahead and pour while we talk.
Yeah.
So let's start. I wanted to start with this Indian Amrut. I'm a huge fan. They obviously help sponsor the show, but
just give me a little bit.
Oh yeah.
There's a lot. We got
a lot
on the
table.
So
I've got a dump glass here as well, guys.
Yeah. I don't want to waste it if it's not necessary to do so.
But yeah, so when at 8 a.m., 9 a.m., there were, I stopped counting the line at 300. And then when the line actually came through, I didn't wait in the line. I was working the event, so to speak. I stood by our table and stopped counting at about 400. And it went on for a solid hour. And we sold, worried about saturation, we sold all but one bottle of our Iron Root pick. There were two bottles left, and these are updated numbers from Specs of the Elijah Craig.
Wow.
And I know this may seem like a lot, but there were 9 cases left of the Jack Daniels. And it's obviously less than that now, whatever that is. But we definitely hit a saturation point. But also, there's never been a private club pick released in Texas of the Jack Daniels rye, and not everyone is familiar with, is it good, is it not good, who knows? And we've actually received really great feedback.
And everyone else had already dropped a couple $100.
Yeah, I mean, we were towards the end of the line.
People had shopping carts.
Yeah.
Carts.
I would imagine.
Because it was just the assembly line. You were pulling a bottle, you know, move up 50 feet. There's another table. And the Jack is one of the best picks that was there, I think.
I remember trying that a little while ago, and that was really good. I was looking forward to that.
The moment they do a barrel-proof rye, we're going to jump all over it. Yeah. I think Jack Daniel's barrel-proof rye is going to be the next thing that people lose their mind over. Mm. It's just unprecedentedly fantastic. I think the secondary grain, I can never remember if it's 13 or 17% corn, but it's a high corn secondary grain that they, it's just sweeter. It's
sweeter.
A bourbon drinker.
Yeah.
It's like the best rye ever is Russell's rye, right? And theirs is just so, it's a bourbon drinker's rye.
It's
super
sweeter.
Sweet.
There's like a little bit of a banana. I think that's probably, I always get that a lot, Jack Daniels. It gets the yeast that they use, but it's not like, I'm not a big banana fan, but it works well with that.
Banana fan.
But it works well with
it is
rye.
Different. It doesn't taste like any other rye out there.
We, by the way, I don't know if I told you this, but we did do the Space City tour. Johnson Space Center tour with Melissa Villasenor. The next day we went to lunch. And we took her to, she wanted to see.
Did you do the regular public tour?
It was awful.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It was unbearable.
It's just, you sit on a tram for most of it.
Well, the tram, when we got there, was a 2.5 hour wait.
Holy crap.
And you know, I paid for the tickets for us to get in, and we, like, walked through, and the line, you ever walk up to a line, like a Specs line last Saturday, and not realize where it begins?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you see the end of it, but you're not sure how long it is, because it just kind of wraps
you
around
just
all these.
You keep going, your heart sinks further away.
And we were like, can we just walk to the space? And they're like, no, you got to ride the tram.
Unfortunately,
it was garbage.
We just walked around when I was there with my brother recently, and I had a great time.
Yeah, the museum itself is actually really nice.
Yeah.
The tram tour, I mean, they take you into the viewing room of the control center, so it's in they redid the old Apollo one, and it's more like interactive, and they have some clips and stuff. It's really cool. I actually can't even take people in there now because of the Apollo one. We used to be able to just take anyone in there that we wanted to, but now it's like Space Center Houston kind of runs that, so that's the only way to see it. But then for the most part, you're just sitting on a tram, and they're driving you outside of all the concrete government buildings that all look the same.
This one here is confidential. This one's classified.
It's not even anything that interesting.
If you look to your right, I can't tell you anything.
Here's
I
some office buildings. Here's some more office buildings. There's a vacuum chamber in that one. That's pretty much what it
so
is.
So I took it to Nobis.
Anyway,
we had pho and some street tacos, and of course, that's where I found Nice Guy Eddie.
which
yeah, so this is from our Melissa date. Yeah,
that's awesome. I was super excited when you said, because I went, when we got home, I got
flipped
home that
out.
Evening.
And you know, there's, I don't think a lot of people who come on the show who are not big drinkers don't realize the fervor that's here.
Yeah.
The fanaticism in this hobby. And so, like, for instance, anyone that walks in and sees 20 bottles on the table right now would think, okay, you guys are alcoholics.
Right.
But I'm sitting there, and in mid-conversation, I'm facing the board with all the beer list on it.
Mm-hmm.
At eye level, 20 feet away,
you see nice.
I see Nice Guy Eddie, and I flipped out. Interrupted her mid-conversation, was like, oh, my God, they got Nice Guy Eddie here. And I posted about it and grabbed it. Let's open it while it's still... Yeah. And you know
I say that to people all the time, that when I'm at a bar, it could be low lighting, yeah, and it could be 50 feet away, and you can identify stuff.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I chew all my fingernails off. You're going to have to
open that. My wife is absolutely fantastic at noticing whether or not something in a movie or television show is a real bottle of whiskey or a... Like a fake manufactured one that they use,
yeah,
for the show.
Because, you know, there are companies that do nothing but fake branding,
mm-hmm,
for movies and TV shows.
I wonder how much that costs versus paying for the license to actually have it in your show.
No, I dumped it in this.
Okay.
One. Yeah, yeah.
So how does it taste compared to when it first dropped?
I don't know, I just opened it.
Yeah.
You just saw
it's,
me
it's
open
been
it.
So long.
Well, I will tell you, when it first dropped, I was nervous about how sweet it was. There was whack. Too much of the adjunct note in it.
Wow, that's good. It's aged well, I think.
Oh, yeah.
That is still...
Still really
absolutely...
Good.
Coconutty,
yeah,
and amazing.
I'm getting more coconut now, like pecan and coconut. Or
so I don't think Bart's going to see this, and I wanted to keep it a surprise for Bart, but I'm excited to tell you guys, we are doing our next beer project with Copperhead Brewery.
Oh,
that's
nice,
great. Seth's barrel aged stouts are some of the best ever, mm-hmm, produced. People go crazy for it. I dropped off our Jack Daniel's barrel to him. Jack
that's
Daniel's
awesome.
Makes a great stout. We know recently we also learned, mm-hmm, that Jack Daniel's is also great for rum barrels.
Yeah.
All of
did
the ex bourbon, mm-hmm, rum barrels.
Foursquare. All Jack Daniel's.
Get out.
Always. They, yeah, they use Jack.
Anytime it says ex bourbon on a Foursquare bottle, Daniels. It's Jack Daniel's.
That's confirmed. Jack Daniel's is bourbon.
And they're
too.
Sold as that from Jack. He buys them directly from Jack Daniel's, and they're marketed as ex bourbon barrels.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's the best part.
That
that's the best part.
He dropped that, and it was like, that's amazing.
That's it. Argument is over. It's done.
They sell it as bourbon barrels.
So. Yeah, and we, God, that is fantastic.
That is so good.
So, you know, the most famous barrel-aged beer from Copperhead Brewery is their King of Terrors.
I never even had that one.
King of Terrors, they do a release. They did a Old Fitzgerald barrel. They've done Weller barrels. They're fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
This one's going to be called, can you guess?
King of Taters.
King of Taters.
Oh, yeah.
King of Taters.
and his artwork. I don't know who does it. It's awesome.
The artwork's going to be updated.
Yeah.
It's going to look just like his... But it'll probably be a potato or Wade's face or something.
That's amazing.
So it's a picture of the Grim Reaper, and we'll change it up. HPS's logo will be on
that's
it.
That's awesome.
And we do plan on doing it to full distribution, so you'll be able to get it around just like we picked up Nice Guy Eddie.
Yeah.
So Seth and Bart have been. Bart has been campaigning to make this happen for a while. We just don't get that many barrels.
Right.
So, and even now, I don't think we have enough. We have to track down a few
and
more.
And don't you have to, like, there's only a window of opportunity that you could use them in, too, right? Like
before they go bad?
Exactly.
Or they get infected?
Yeah.
Yeah. The alcohol staves off bacterial growth for a while, and then when the barrel dries out, it's not good for beer. So this is so good.
It is.
Oh, man.
All right, so I know we have a lot to get through.
This will be our chase.
Back to specs. Yeah. Back to specs. So specs did a fantastic job. I cannot say enough. We were so nervous because we had a bumpy road with our Mr. Blonde release,
mm-hmm,
where a few people kind of freaked out in panic, and a lot of people were nervous about this release. But this could not have gone any better than it did.
That's awesome.
There were two barrels of Weller Proof. Surprise, surprise. So... at least 350 people got a bottle of Weller Full Proof.
And a lot of people turned around and left when they saw the line, and they would have gotten a bottle.
That's so crazy.
The last person that got one I know of got there at 8 a.m. So from if you got there from 2 a.m., and remember at 4:30 you were 80 people deep, when I got there at 8 a.m., they were already wrapped around the building, three sides of the building, almost to the parking lot from the beginning. So almost a complete circle around the building. And it was about 300 people, and they all got one. I brought donuts and kolaches and offered them all like towards the end of the line, two. Like up to that point, it was one per, but I was like, you guys aren't getting a lot of foolproof. So do you want two donuts or two kolaches? I tried to alleviate as much stress as possible because we knew complaints were going to happen.
Oh, sure.
And you had eyeballed the count on one side of the building.
Apparently wrong.
And when I said that out loud, what your eyeball was, as if it was fact, someone past that point was like, this is bullshit. People are cutting lines. And I was like, no, hold on. I'm just going off based on what I'm being told. Let me go count.
Yeah.
So I counted. I subtracted a few. I'm like, yeah, it's the same as what you said. Like, just like, calm down.
I think that's why it's smart that Specs didn't tell us, or at least me, the count for the foolproof. Because if they had, a lot of people would have bailed. And, and in the end, it was great for everyone that they didn't. And that we didn't know.
So much other good
stuff.
And
all that Blantons. Yeah, all the Blantons. And we announced it as Blantons, not a Blantons pick.
Yeah, yeah.
Just as Blantons. And it ended up being two barrels of Blantons.
Wow. Well, the Specs announced that it was a barrels pick.
Did it say pick?
Yeah, okay.
Because
so
no one was really talking
it.
About it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's we were talking beforehand, and I said I think it's going to be much more than we think it's going to be, and I think it was. And the fact that Specs handled it so well, like, so I was out. I was checked out by 10:15, maybe. Wow. Maybe earlier than that. And I came over to check in with you and Brittany. So I left at, like, 20 after, and there were maybe 40 people left in line. That's how many people Specs checked out in the first 20 minutes.
Holy cow.
I would say in the first 30 to 45, everyone in line was out. You know, maybe hanging around the store,
they
but
did
it was
100
done.
And, like, 200K of business in, like, an hour.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And I don't think that's they'll ever give me that exact number, but even just rough estimates of the average, everyone had shopping carts, the average person.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, like
average transaction is $200+ dollars a person.
I mean,
and
you say your most of those
people.
Bottles are 40, 50 bucks, so you get three.
And the pricing was great on everything.
Yeah. When they sold quite a bit of the Armagnac, and the Armagnac was two something.
Yeah.
Oh, or wow. One.
The low one was, I think, 249, I thought.
249.
And then like 329 or something like that.
Yeah. Wow.
And, but, you know, it's more expensive here. So even just buying. I bought one of each of the. I spent, me personally, well, not me personally, the Whiskey Social, spent $2,000 that day.
Wow.
And there were several people who dropped quite a bit just to it's insane. So while we're pouring, by the way, what did you think of the Amaro?
Man, that was really good. It kind of almost reminded me of like Glenmorangie a little bit.
It reminds me, I was thinking Glenfarclas. I don't know, from my understanding, there's not sherry in this, and there might be, and if someone from Amaro sees this, let me know. I don't think there's any sherry in this. But it's got a sweetness to it. Oh, I see. Ex-rum casks, sherry, and brandy. Yeah, there's a sweetness there that specifically reminds me of Glenmorangie.
Yeah, the La Santa, the sherry cask finished, or even, don't they have a rum one now too, Glenmorangie?
They might have done a private edition of one. Yeah. I know I've always been a La Santa fan, and Quinta Ruban.
Quinta Ruban.
This is just freaking delicious.
It's
sweet.
Lighter, like because not Glenfarclas is a little more oily. That's a nice light, very easily drinkable. That's how I kind of Glenmorangie because they have the taller still, so you get the lighter.
Yeah, the lightest. The lighter.
Do most of their bottles hang around 100
down?
Around 100 proof?
No. So they do a bump in proof for everything. Like I think their standard fusion is 46%. But the sherry one I did, I think is 59%. This one is 100 proof. Mm-hmm. But they like to put a little bit more backing behind the spirit. So
nice.
I have never taken a sponsor on the show of something that was garbage. I genuinely love Amaro's Expressions. And I heard Sam Heughan is an Indian whiskey fan, so I plan on bringing that on our trip as well, too. So, all right, so what's next?
You want to talk about what you brought?
Sure. I brought a few things.
You want to jump into that cognac?
Yeah,
yes.
All right, let's do the cognac. Right. So
I'm a little worried about this glass now.
Give it a rinse with something else.
Yeah.
Not that rum, though.
No.
Yeah, that would be bad.
Do a little, maybe a little Jack wash.
I'm going to wash with this.
Larceny.
So
I think I'm okay.
Oh, my God. That was extremely erotic. What were we talking about? I wanted to address
you wanted
specs.
To address them with specs. That's good.
Yeah, so Specs, okay, this is our 23-year, 11-month cognac that's
Where's
been...
The dump?
It's taken a year. This is the dump glass. It's taken a year. Well, first approached them in October of 2018, and it's still on its way. So you're looking at $90 for a...
The nose is great.
Cask strength, 23-year, 11-month, 53.3% bottled for the Houston Bourbon Society. We didn't take a cut. I know sometimes people speculate that there's some sort of financial incentive for these picks. There's no financial incentive. And they took a cut of their own profits to introduce Texas to something cool. So the bottle to store, the cost to a store is only about $65.
Wow.
And for those who don't know, general markup for retailers minimum is the 25% to 30% mark. So at around $85 for this bottle, and then we're going to throw $5 on top for charity, the Warriors for Freedom. So for a 24-year-old bottle that should be $150, you're getting it for $90. This is half the cost of Space Cowboy. And this is Space Cowboy Rides Again, if you want to kind of put that up front so you can get a better look at it.
Yeah, this is awesome.
This is really, really good.
I don't see anyone having an issue with this at all. It is. I mean, cask strength cognac that's 24 years old. If that was a 24-year-old bourbon,
oh my God.
$200.
Yeah, yeah. Or if you could even find it. Yeah.
Or more.
I mean, even at $150, honestly, for something that's 24 years old, 24, like 20-year-old scotches, those are over $200.
Yeah, under 100, this is amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 24-year-old scotch is definitely over $200, yeah. Right?
Because what's a
21-year-old Balvenie's 180.
Yeah, what was the Macallan 25? Was like $500, $600 or something?
Nope, I paid $1,500 for a bottle once, and regretted it. So
yeah,
this
is really good.
It's
kind of getting raisiny,
it's
like
so
caramel.
Sweet.
Definitely very raisiny.
Oh, yeah, and in regards to specs, so for years we had been, I've been talking to them for years to try to convince them to we've always been trying to get an OWA pick, right? That's the elusive one, because if there's one brand that's behind on working with social media groups, it's definitely Sazerac. But I love them, and I love the state manager, Tyler. We've been working for them.
Yeah, especially because I'm sure there's a lot of people who haven't really had the opportunity to try it unless, you know, because it's hard to get a bottle of a lot of that stuff now, and unless they're willing to pay secondary, or if they're lucky enough to find one,
and it's going to get even harder. Yeah. We were talking about the specs event and how it was sort of a tipping point. I mean, we see in Louisville that they have these lines and people camp overnight. And when we were there last time, there was a foolproof pick that came out at the Pearl,
and people
people camped overnight, and it was like 30 degrees. It was insane.
I don't know why the bottle, even at secondary value, is not worth 10 hours of my time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you have like a college kid or something who's like, hey, I can make a couple $100, wait in line overnight.
Sure.
But there are people who are just crazy too, and that's what we're finding is that. And you know, if 2:30 was the starting point for our event, next time it's not going to be 2:30.
It's going to be the day before.
It's
or something.
Day before.
People are going to get there at 10:30 p.m. and set up tents at Specs. And it's it's a good thing, and it's also a bad thing. I mean, it's going to be harder and harder to get things if you're not willing to do that.
This is how great Specs has been. And you know, I've caught a lot of shit over the years for people asking why we do things with Specs or with Total. It's not just Specs. It's Total Wine, Goody Goody, any big box store. I get a lot of shit for.
Wait, you're saying you get a lot of shit online about the decisions that you make? What?
Well, there's a reason for everything, and something that I think is short-sighted of some of these other smaller groups is, I mean, there are pros and cons. I mean, the Hounds is a fantastic group, and they're all along the same lines as far as experience goes, so there's very little problems over there, if any. HBS is a bit more of a wild ride at times. So there's definitely pros and cons, but we work with Specs because a few reasons. One, there's only so much we can ask a mom-and-pop store to take, and you have to spread that out. And I don't want us as a group to ever have to slow down if we don't have to. The group continues to grow, and if there's something that people want, we line it up and we jump on it as soon as we can. Mm-hmm. For instance, we will have the first barrel selection, not just the first, but the second, first and second, of Bullet in Texas.
That's crazy.
And if we had to wait because we were limited with the stores we work with, then we may miss an opportunity.
Right.
So we jump on the first two barrel selections that you guys will be picking in this month, couple weeks.
Excited for that.
Of Bullet Bourbon. It's not Four Roses, and they run about $50 a piece.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's cash strength.
Yeah, that's a great deal these days.
Can't really.
So what do they bottle? About 104 proof, I think? Or is this going to be actual true cash strength? Because the one that I saw from Louisiana, I think, was a 104.
That may be cash strength.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. It seemed like a number that they rounded off, but
I think
I'm not sure.
I had one.
The first one I'd
from
seen
a couple years ago when we got a when it was only able to get in like in Kentucky or whatever. And
oh, a lot of white pepper.
114.
This is so great.
This is so great.
It is.
There's a lot of white pepper.
There's a good like balance between sweet and spicy. And
oh, spicy for sure.
Yeah.
To your point on the specs, and I think another benefit is that who else is going to pull out two barrels of Blanton's and two barrels of Foolproof and do like a big blowout event like that?
Oh, you know? And that's actually
nobody.
That's actually true. Someone in the group brought it up, but we had been asking specs for years to do this, not to do it exactly like this. This was definitely their idea, but to basically afford us a barrel pick of Weller or OWA for our group. And Specs was like, the problem is, Chris Detmore's been great, love the guy. He says, the problem is that we've always spread our picks out across the state. Mm-hmm. There's never been a single market that we've given our picks to. We spread it out to make everyone happy because there's not enough to go around. This was the first time in Specs history to do anything like this and to have their Weller Foolproof allocation given to one market versus the entire state.
And not just the one market, one store. I mean, I realize it's sort of the same,
and
but
one Facebook
one
group.
Yeah.
Right. So this was an official HBS Specs thing. They did us a huge favor. And the people that have complained, I can't tell you how hard my nipples got when I see people in line for that Foolproof at 8 a.m. who have been vocal about us working with Specs.
Oh, yeah.
Because it wouldn't have happened.
Right.
It wouldn't have happened if we hadn't had such a great working relationship. If Chris hadn't been great.
Yeah.
If Brittany hadn't been great. That they have been so good to us. And in turn, at times, we've been awfully shitty.
Oh, yeah.
I have not been shitty. I've been good to them. But I've had to apologize a lot for some shitty behavior. Well,
you could tell that, I mean, you know, given the way it's a lot easier to write negative things on the internet versus positive things, the fact that every single post that I saw about it was all
positive.
That's so mind-blowing. I mean, that's...
And very positive.
And the fact... And also, very positive what too. Mom-and-pop store could have done something like that?
Oh, yeah. They would have been overwhelmed.
Don't get me wrong. I love mom-and-pop stores. We continue to support them. The Whiskey Social, we have to spend... This year, we're going to cross the 100K mark for our event. Mm-hmm. We spend that money at... Not only do we spend some at Specs and Total Wine, but we spend the vast majority of it at mom-and-pop stores. Rice, I mean, First Sip Liquor in La Porte has gotten, I don't want to say the exact number, but it's far more than you would expect to spend at a mom-and-pop store because we want to support local as well as support Specs. Specs has been good to us, so no complaint. I mean, there's definitely some problems and some heated feelings of one way or the other. I get it. But it went off without a hitch. They did us a huge favor. And it went so well. I could not believe it worked as well as it did. And
my favorite thing, and I think I sent it to you guys, I was on Reddit randomly going through the Houston one, and some random person was like, why are all these people lined up at Specs at 6 o'clock in the morning? Which is all, it's funny to me because we're such in a bubble of people who this is a completely normal behavior that like outside people are like, why are people lying? What's going on at this liquor store at 6 o'clock in the morning?
Florida. That's fantastic. It posted in Florida. I saw it posted in Michigan. I saw it posted in California. People had taken the Specs post and all over Dallas. We're like, are they going to do this here?
Oh, wow.
So I know that Specs is flirting with the idea of doing it in other markets.
I didn't realize they were in other states. They're in other states?
No.
Oh, okay. This is just others.
No. I think they're just Specs, but are just Houston. But the idea was such a genius idea. And Dallas is definitely super hoping it happens. I think Dallas is next. No promises. But who knows
if they
were
a better city, maybe they would have been first.
I love Dallas. I love it. In fact, I will tell you, with all the drama that goes on in these groups, Raymond Taylor of the Dallas-Fort Worth Whiskey Club and Randall Sullivan of Someone Say Whiskey, you guys have been the most easy to work with and the most open to just focusing on growing the group, you know? All right, so we've done the cognac. Let's talk about picks for this drop. This is the order that I know of to be true, and if anyone sees this and hears otherwise, please let me know. Jack Daniel's Rye, the very first one selected in the state, was Reserve 101 in Houston. That's already out. It's at Tony K's. That's the first one for a bar. The first one selected for a club. The only other way, bars or clubs, right? Or bars and stores are the same thing. the Bourbon Hounds of Houston. Mm-hmm. They went the day before we did. We did taste a few samples that were their non-desirables. But Jamie Bell, his fingers crossed, was really hoping that what we tasted and selected was not a reject barrel so that it couldn't be presented as such. Yeah. And this, I love the Bourbon Hounds. Great crew. Love Evans. Got to sit down and have lunch with him again soon. This was the first club pick. Our pick came out before their pick did. But this Dangerous. Was untasted. You could put it in front. I meant to pass it to you. Pass to the front. This was the first club pick in the state, and it will not be the last. This has been overwhelmingly received positively.
Man, that's so good.
It is.
All the feedback has really made me happy because it's a sigh of relief, not a bragging right. It's more of like, yeah. Oh, thank God I could not worry about one more thing.
Man, that's so good.
I'm really liking a lot of the Jack non-standard products. Not that I have a problem with the the black label, but it's been really interesting.
Well, it's not my favorite. It's a classic, and when I go to movie theaters, I always get a frozen Jack and Coke.
Yeah.
So I definitely think it has its purpose, but the single barrel. The
single barrel is fantastic.
And the Jack Daniel's barrel proof, and then the rye is just off the charts.
Yeah. I've been so excited for this to come in.
I know.
And it's delivered. I mean, it's so good. It's different. I mean, it's unique. It's not like any other rye out there.
Yeah, because like you either have the really high rye, like the MGP, that's like super like dill pickle and crazy like the caraway type spice, and then you have like the just barely legal ryes, which those are like, you know, Rittenhouse or Sazerac and those are good. I actually like Sazerac rye, the leather
or Handy. I mean, Handy is off the charts, fantastic. With something that's 6 years old, it's worth $100. Yeah.
This is an interesting middle ground of its sweet and spicy. But like not overly like some of the MGP ryes that you get. I mean, that is really, really good.
Well, for years, and you, I think, mentioned this in our chat, for years people slept on Jack Daniel's products. Mm-hmm. Their fan, I'll say it for video, they're fan fucking tastic.
Yeah.
The products are, well, I think the people who've been in this hobby for a while well respect Jack Daniel's. The people who say that they've been in this hobby for a while but have kept it at the surface level, they're like, no, I don't drink Jack, right?
What is this?
The single barrel, I'm very happy with. First Sip has a barrel pick that we did of the single barrel 94 proof for a car dealership that was opening in Sugar Land. The barrel proof, but it was selected by me.
Yeah.
The expert.
Not an expert. I was an emissary.
Oh, right, sorry.
The man, did I ever send you the picture of the tripe, the fluff that they wrote about me, like acknowledged whiskey expert Christopher Hart. Oh my gosh, I love Doug, but so, and then the rye, God, when they come out with the barrel proof rye, and they will,
that's going to be amazing.
That's gonna we'll take two a year, moving forward. In fact, if it's as good as the, you know, they've been doing the half bottles in their gift shop of the barrel strength rye. It's the only place you can get it.
Oh, okay.
Wait, but they have a barrel strength rye?
Yeah, so they have a barrel strength rye, but it's only in half bottles and it's only in the distiller shop.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. I think you brought one of those
Tennessee
out.
Tennessee Tasters
time.
Is what they're called. Yeah, I've seen that. Okay. So we picked up two more there. Yeah, they were fantastic.
Yeah.
When those come out, I'd be willing to bet that HPS be willing to do 4 barrels total for the year. Yeah. If we did a barrel proof spring, barrel proof rye, spring, barrel proof bourbon, barrel proof rye in the fall. They're affordable, they're reasonable, and they're fantastic.
And it's a nice looking bottle too. It's real high end packaging. It looks great.
The bottle is awesome.
Yeah. And more barrels for our beer projects.
That's right.
There's
By the way, we're doing peanut butter. That's what I meant to say. With Seth, the King of Terrors, we're doing barrel style peanut butter.
Interesting.
Oh wow.
So we got to put on there the allergy warning,
make it more available that way.
One of the best distillers or brewers when it comes to barrel aged stouts anywhere is Copperhead, and I'm so excited that we finally.
That's going to be interesting. Peanut butter with the sweetness of the Jack.
You've never had a peanut butter stout?
No, I have. No, but I mean with the Jack barrel, that should be really interesting.
We thought about calling it Nice Guy Eddie Killer, like a complete competition between two Conroe brewers, you know.
But, picture a nice guy Eddie choking because of the peanut allergy.
I lost my. What was before the peanut thing? What were we talking about?
The Jack.
Yeah. So, I'm so happy with it. Everything turned out great, and we've been getting a lot of great feedback. As soon as the hounds release their rye, I'm going to be tasting that as well. You just can't go wrong. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I pull these out often when I'm doing blinds with friends.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Especially people that are kind of snobby.
Well, they call the barrel proof Stag Killer.
Yeah.
It's a nickname. Yeah.
Yeah.
George C. Stag Killer.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, it's funny to rankle some mm-hmm. snobby feathers or whatever when, like, oh, by the way, did you like that? Yeah, that was Jack Daniels.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, you're welcome. Oh, man. The amount of snobbery in this hobby.
Yeah. All right. It's
killed it. What's next? A lot. Killed the rye. We've got our Craig pick.
DC, and then let's do the Iron Root before.
By the way,
I want to do the Iron Root.
It's not going to hit the market, but we also did a second Elijah Craig pick, but for the Whiskey Social. Mm-hmm. But I'm buying the whole barrel for the event, giving it away. It's a Dietzville pick. I think it's 10 years and some months.
You good?
How's the being a dad thing?
It's awesome, man.
How old was he when you last came on?
He was probably 2 months then, because he just hit 4 months.
4 months?
4 months. 4 months now.
Okay.
So we had our first Christmas. It was awesome. It's cool. He's super more like, you know, he makes a lot of faces. He responds. He's super happy and laughing. He makes friends everywhere he goes. We were having lunch at Revival Market, and there was a little boy. He was probably a year old, maybe. And And he's like, "Whoa, there's a baby!" And they made friends. It was really cool. So
we
can't go anywhere without like being stopped by people. Like, "Oh, look at the baby!"
My wife went to an art exhibit recently, and with her sister, and she's having a little bit of baby fever right now. I have a surgery planned for April to kind of relieve any of that. Yeah. But she went to this art exhibit I've said this 1,000 times on the show. I am obsessed with being a daddy. I love
It's awesome.
Being a father. And everything that sounds horrible sounds amazing to me. Like last night, I'm having trouble getting my sleep schedule right for night shift.
Mm-hmm. That sucks. Yeah.
So I woke up at 1 a.m., went to go play a little video games to kind of like can't turn my brain off.
Right.
And at 4 a.m., my daughter wakes up. She's 4 years old, and she comes out with a bottle of lotion. And she's like, "Daddy, my legs hurt." And the image of this beautiful 4-year-old who keeps a bottle of lotion next to her bed for leg night rubs mm-hmm. before she goes to sleep brings it to me so I can massage her legs.
Yeah.
And then she just takes her lotion back into her room and goes to that to me is just killed
yeah,
me.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And my son woke up too last night, and he's potty trained, but he's still
two.
He's three. He just turned three.
Okay.
He's potty trained, but he just started wearing diapers to bed,
mm-hmm.
but not during the day.
Right.
So she doesn't wear diapers to bed. She doesn't pee the bed.
Yeah. Well, girls develop
but
faster
too. 100% yeah. faster. He woke up at 4 a.m. and I just hear him crying, "Daddy, I peed." I think, oh crap, he peed the bed. So I get up, I go in the back of the house, and he's not in his room, he's in the bathroom. He woke up to pee, he crawled out of his crib, took his clothes off, took his diaper off, peed in the toilet, and then couldn't get his clothes back on to go back to bed. He was too out of it. And just the image of me walking in to see him delirious at 4 a.m. He was peeing on the toilet.
Right.
And for some reason, he does the splits on the toilet. Like when I sit on the toilet, my legs are crossed. when he sits on the toilet, his legs are like
at
3-9. Yeah. So just that image is the cutest thing for me.
Yeah. And he's more upset because he can't get himself
he couldn't get off the toilet,
awesome.
Couldn't put his clothes back on. That's a good sign, though. That means he's not going to pee the bed
that's
when
right.
he stops wearing diapers,
that's right.
right?
Yeah, that's good.
I don't even know where we were with this, but I love being a dad. I love that you're enjoying it, man.
It's awesome.
You guys going to have more?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
At least one more. We're hoping for a little girl.
The trick is to go back to back, and it's a complete nightmare for 15 months,
yeah.
but then it's great.
Yeah, that's our plan.
Like, the closest you'll ever get to a divorce is in that 15 months,
yeah.
But if you can ride through it.
Yeah. I'm really fortunate. Jessica's
awesome.
Real chill. So it works out. So she kind of counterbalances my
your stress levels.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to get the pour of this Iron Root.
It doesn't smell like corn bourbon to me.
I keep calling it
corn whiskey, but it's 100% corn bourbon. It just doesn't remind me of traditional nose.
No, it's complex. Because like most corn whiskey, because you don't have the flavoring grains, it's very one-dimensional, but this has a lot of complexity to it.
Yeah, for those who don't know, awesome. Most people think, oh, no, it's 100% corn. It can't be bourbon. No, that's not true. There is no maximum limit for bourbon. Bourbon just has to be at least 51% corn. It can be 100% corn. Now, the way you... I forget the term, not because I don't know it, but because I've been drinking and haven't eaten lunch. But they've got to basically add their own yeast and enzymes, because typically you get those enzymes from the malted barley.
Yeah, right.
You typically get enzymes for that fermentation process through malted barley, and then, of course, they add their own yeast. So this was... Honestly, I think at the time when we picked it, it was slotted to be the oldest thing they've ever released. And I think it took a while to get here.
Yeah.
It was ready to ship in October.
Yeah, it was almost 9 months.
And then when it came in, Specs had it in and held it for this release, along with our Jack Daniel's rye. So I think it's the third oldest, right?
So I thought it was the third oldest, but if you look at it, look at the barrel number.
Cask number 6.
Yeah.
You think that's the 6th barrel they've ever filled?
Mm-hmm.
You think so?
Yep.
That's crazy.
When we were there, I thought it was the 3rd that they'd ever filled, but the fact that it says number 6 on it, I must have just misremembered.
I'm going to have to ask them. The licorices, I love them.
It may be
so
their third
much.
Oldest barrel, but it could also be cask number 6, you know? It could be both. Because they might have released the other barrels.
Right.
And the proof on it is 66.6, devil's proof.
Yeah.
I love them so much. The time we spent, and we have another trip planned up there.
Great time.
Iron Root Distilling Camp. I have another trip planned for that. You know what we need to do? We need to invite like Nancy Fraley or something so that we can have a deep dive on yeast.
That'd be cool.
And for those who... Nancy Fraley was just on Bourbon Real Talk with Randall Sullivan. I have been trying to sit down with Nancy for years, but she doesn't come down this far that often. So if you guys want to get a peek at the insight and the wisdom and the genius behind yeast, talk to Nancy Fraley or listen to Bourbon Real Talk's episode, the recent episode he did with Nancy Fraley. She couldn't be a more magnanimous... Just gonna say
that's probably
word.
Right.
Yeah, just say a big word. You should. By the way, speaking of Rick and Morty memes, that's probably right. Should just be your response for every question ever. That's probably
that's
right.
That's probably right.
Nancy Fraley's amazing. So, anyways, we have another Iron Root camp planned for beginning of the year. Basically, we will put out a notice that we are making a trip to Iron Root. We'll basically rent a house. We all stay together for the night, and then we spend 2 days distilling at Iron Root Camp and tasting through 15 barrels. This was the end of about 15 barrels we tasted.
Mm-hmm.
It was our favorite barrel.
And we weren't looking to choose one. I remember looking over at you, and I was like...
This.
Yeah.
And you were like texting, like, should we try to grab this?
Is this out now?
This is out now, and it's gone.
Oh, damn it.
The numbers I got a couple days ago, there was one bottle of Iron Root left there, but I'm sure if you go to Whiskey, there are some groups locally you can go to for cost plus shipping.
I might have to do that.
I'm not going to say which ones.
This must have came out when I was out of town, because I've been out of town a lot the last couple of months.
Yeah, it was last Saturday. Yeah.
I mean, you don't bring sample bottles to the bottle share?
I should
just take some. Take whatever you want.
Yeah, maybe I'll just like hide this in my shirt when we leave or something. I don't know.
In terms of Texas whiskey, this is the most cognac. To me, it tastes like barrel strength cognac.
And I can't get over the
it's
color.
It's super
Look
sweet,
at the color. Look
but
how dark it is.
Well, I'm not sure what size barrel they were, but I know that 50,
I thought it was 53. I could be wrong.
Aren't they using 60s now? Well, maybe. I mean, 5 years ago, they were probably using smaller barrels.
But it doesn't have
I'm
like
sure
that.
I'm sure they'll see this in answer.
It doesn't have that.
There's a
harshness that you get with those smaller barrels. No. Like this is
and
really
it's got a lot of oak, but it's not in a bad way.
Not
like,
in a bad
it's,
way.
It's like the perfect balance of the corn and the oak, which normally I'm not a huge fan of either. And it just comes together.
There's
perfectly.
Like cinnamon and baking spices, and I mean, man, that's just so good. And the nose is phenomenal on it. That is really, really good.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan.
I'm bummed I missed that.
Yeah, we have two, and what's crazy, so for those who don't know, and I'm sure we've talked about it on the show, but the way it works is the wholesaler tier, distributors, they have to pay taxes on everything sitting in their warehouse on December 31st,
mm-hmm.
right?
I've heard that, yeah.
So the problem is, OND is what it's called, October, November, December. The last 3 months, they do everything they can. It's the Copac time of the year in which you get the bottle with the two glasses.
Oh, yeah.
So they are putting out as much product as possible. It's big sales time of year. And whereas we lost our Balcones barrels, or not we, our loving distributor locally, they were lost. But they were also building a new warehouse in Katy. So those barrels will drop soon. I know that our stores have already tried ordering no less than half a dozen times of the smaller barrel, the peated barrel, and then the Smoky Mary barrel is going to Total Wine.
I think we tried those last time.
Yeah,
if
we
I remember.
Did.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Those were really good too.
Yeah. So
this was the number three.
That was the Madeira, our Dallas guys. I can't say this enough. There's so much bravado and assumptions and arrogance that's in this hobby. I cannot speak highly enough of how I think that the Dallas-Fort Worth guys, Paolo, Raymond, their visual arts guy, which is giving you a run for your money,
awesome.
Dustin.
Yeah, really cool stuff.
Those guys are, again, I'm sorry, Jack, are fucking killing it.
Yeah.
That group is doing everything right. I'm so happy. I love the that's not a slide on other groups, but I'm just so impressed with what Dallas is doing. So cheers to them. Everything else about your city sucks.
Yeah,
a bag
of dicks.
Blind
squirrel finds a nut every once in a while.
Everything else about Dallas is garbage. But specifically, you whiskey drinkers, all of you are just, man, my hat's off to you guys. Supportive of each other, which is a nice change of pace.
What's that like?
They're very supportive. There's a lot of love going around. I can't get over how well you guys are doing it. So, all right. So we've got time for maybe two more pours. What are we hitting that's recently dropped? Whistle Pig? Let's talk about Whistle Pig.
Okay.
Yeah. So this was one of two barrels we picked, going back to how everything dropped at once because it was the end of the year. We actually had more barrels than you realize dropped. We had three at Specs. We had a Whistle Pig that dropped at Village, a Jack Daniel's Barrel Proof that dropped at other stores. A second Elijah Craig, which I'm buying for the whiskey event.
Yeah.
I mean, we did picks throughout the entire year, and they're all hitting at the same time.
Yeah, it's a good thing we have a big city that's geographically large and a big group too.
Yeah, so we did a Whistle Pig for the Inner Loop. And we're doing a Whistle Pig for the Outer Loop. They can compete against each other for all I care.
Which one's better, though?
Well, so we did two picks. This is the first pick, and this was what I would say the people pleaser. Everyone's going to like this. This is not going to offend anybody the way that maybe the Robusto will. Oh, I can't wait to talk about Robusto. Oh, I can't wait. Don't say anything else.
Right. It's the one thing I will say is that when you mentioned Dustin and his art, which has inspired me to go to higher levels.
Your artwork is some of the best ever. This particular pick that we know of, that no one else listening knows of, is going, I think, going to go down in the record books.
It's going to be awesome.
I loved it. It was my favorite pick
You should
ever
develop
a
close friendship rivalry the way Bert and Tom do with Dustin. You guys should be best friends. Because his Joker artwork on the Widow Jane is off the charts.
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
This was Whistle Pig, right? So very happy with this.
And so all the Whistle Pig this year was Alberta. So the MGP is gone.
Okay. MGP's gone. And honestly,
I love the Alberta.
I really like young MGP rye. I loved our Pinhook, and we got mostly good reviews on it. I saw one guy that wasn't sure if he liked it, but his other posts were like, you know, mixing with Coke and stuff.
Sure.
So I didn't take his opinion too heavy. But me and Daryl picked that Pinhook rye that I thought went very well, and we went through quite a bit of it.
I've heard good things about it. I actually haven't had it.
It's also a tobacco bomb, and I loved it. And it's a 4-year-old MGP. This is 10-year-old MGP. I'm sorry, 10-year-old Alberta. And it's fantastic. And there's a second barrel. It's called Sugar Nose, HBS number 2, Sugar Nose. And Chris O'Mara was obsessed with it. Chris O'Mara helped pick the second Whistle Pig barrel. Mm. And him and two other people that were there for the selection honed in on this second pick that's coming out, and we're going to be releasing it to the Outer Loop.
Mm-hmm.
So Village Liquor was Inner Loop, and it's great. No complaints. Solid rye. Can't complain. The second barrel will be Ricky's, Dandy and Katy, Flax and Clear Lake.
Nice.
That's three barrels. three stores, all Outer Loop. And we don't really have a store in the, we got Liquor Hut, but it's a little too far out, and yeah. They got some other stuff slated down the road.
That's the one.
See, I really like this. Right? I just like the Alberta Rise. I'm a Whistlepig fan in general. I like almost all the picks that I've had.
They do.
I feel like the MGP was more divisive. I think everyone seems to like the Alberta.
People either hated the dill pickle note or loved it.
Yeah, right.
The problem.
I liked it.
The problem with Whistlepig,
like some of them were too peppery, or some of them were kind of odd.
The problem with Whistlepig has been one. It's been onefold, right? One issue. For years, the $80 price tag seemed ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But now that the
Not
rest
so
of the market,
anymore.
Now that the rest of the market has exploded and become absurd, and Whistlepig has stayed at the $80 price, it's been a value at 10 years old. So, one person I'll give complete credit for really changing the idea of Whistlepig locally is going to go to Nathan Struberg at Blind Pig.
Mm-hmm.
Blind Pig has done a bunch of these Whistlepig picks. And Nathan, the stuff that Nathan likes specifically with a cigar has done very well.
Yeah.
Right? His Russell's picks, his Whistlepig picks, there's been another one that he does pretty regularly.
He does a lot of Knob Creeks, right?
He does a couple of Knob Creeks. Yeah.
They've had success in Four Roses.
Four Roses. Yep. There were Four Roses picks.
Four Roses, Whistlepig, Knob Creek, and one other one.
They had a lot of Four Roses picks.
But Russell's. Yeah. So those four are his like great late night, great cigar, great cold weather, great. I mean, just boom, 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 boom. So what he does well, he does extremely well. So my hat's off to him because I think he's helped change the landscape. We put off Whistlepig forever because of people complaining about the price tag.
Right.
And now, $80 is a goddamn value.
It's so crazy. It's so crazy how that's changed. And I think a lot of it is your mentality has changed as you've gotten into the hobby as well. Like, I remember going to bars and I'm like, $12 for a pour of whiskey? Get the hell out of here. And then now I'm like, that's $25?
Yeah. And Whistlepig has also been sort of...
At Costa Port from Rosewater?
From Rosewater,
paying $39? I'm like, I got it.
Yeah,
that's
for
a deal.
From like 1900 or whatever.
Yeah, 1811.
They've also been really open, and I mean, they just released a 15-year pick at Specs.
Yeah.
So like all of their whole line is available as a barrel selection.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean... all those old world casks that Specs did, the 12-year.
I think the only...
This is really good.
With different finishes.
Sure.
Like, you know, sherry finishes, rum finishes, all kinds of... They just do all kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah, so it's like, if you like sherry or rum or whatever, go for that. That's
just
cool.
Burped into the microphone. Did you hear that? Nope. All right, good. We're good.
You need a special microphone for that.
I do. Pauly Shore, man. Did you listen to the interview? So I knew going into it. I watched a bunch. Again, you do a lot of homework before the interview. 20 hours of Pauly Shore content.
Wow.
I rewatched a bunch of old films. Some of them still hold up.
Yeah.
Son-in-Law was still great.
That's a good movie.
Encino Man is still good. And so is...
In the Army.
The Biodome is garbage. I don't know why anyone liked that movie. But he... in all of his interviews, he burps. And I was expecting it.
Yeah.
It's like so Rick. Rick and Morty.
Rick and Morty.
You should take that on for one episode. Just keep burping.
Oh, my God.
I gotta go take a shit.
If I ever had the chance at Dan Harmon, I would...
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Dude.
It would be...
You gotta find out if he's a whiskey drinker.
He's a drinker.
Yeah.
Well, regardless of what it is, he's not healthy.
What if it's vodka?
I think the Rick thing started out as it was not on purpose. Like, he burped, and then he was like, that's kind of funny.
In the initial episodes,
he burped a lot, and they were like, we need to dial this back.
Sure.
It's getting to be too much.
Like, it's funny, but dial it back a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, last
so
season.
I discovered that show.
Last season, discovered it. He shoved it down your throat for
that's true.
I made
months.
You watch
that's
it.
That's true. You made me watch it.
The last season was by far the most genius and prolific, like the most life changing.
Not quite there yet,
dude. When you get to
and
the episode about the ghost train guy, the superhero team,
I've watched that one so many times.
I've watched it 20 times, and there's
train.
Just there's so much genius behind his. Do you watch Rick and Morty?
All aboard!
It's amazing.
It is a great show.
Oh my God!
Well, the thing that I don't know if this got you, but I think I said something like the people who watch it have the highest IQ of any other show or something like that.
Yeah.
Because it's scientifically accurate.
There's some...
Even though they're, like, way out there, like, it's real science.
It kind of reminds you of Futurama a little bit, but, like...
Oh, no. There's much more subtle genius.
Well, sure.
Intellect
and
like, Rick and Morty.
When I watch
darker,
the recent Futurama. Episodes I watch, and I'm like, I know I miss stuff there.
Oh,
I know I miss references that I'm going to have to look up because it's just over my head.
Yeah.
It's... Sure.
I've been enjoying watching it because when Jacob wakes up at like 5:30 in the morning and he's up.
That's something I don't miss, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll have as many kids as I could possibly have and be happy financially if I can.
Sounds like that's about to come to an end.
But the lack of sleep, like even now,
yeah,
just already with my schedule trying to find the right sleep schedule is wonky.
I'm so glad I'm not working night shifts anymore. I don't know how you do it, man.
Do you know what sucks? It sucks so bad when you, I think I've said this already, but when you go to sleep at 8 a.m. and don't wake up till 3.
Yeah.
So a day's full of dramas unfolded.
Yeah, yeah,
or
yeah.
On HBS or whatever. So then I've got to reply to 15 emails, 5 missed calls.
Yeah, that's tough.
Text messages, and then a bunch of WhatsApp messages from our, like, unfolding. Right. By the way.
The commentary on it.
The most cathartic chat of all time is being in this Kentucky December chat.
So
December 2018.
Yeah.
December 2018.
So Jessica's like, I should start my own WhatsApp chat with their wives and
it talk just about, like, about like,
are you annoyed that your husband's constantly on this WhatsApp chat?
Jenny's like, are you guys still, are you guys talking all day on that? I'm like, basically.
Yeah, Jessica's the same way. It's really funny.
We're with all the voice messages.
We're so similar in personality, I think, with slightly different dynamics, that it causes a bit of variety enough for us to continue a conversation.
Right.
This is the most loving episode I can think of so far. My ode to you guys.
Yeah,
cheers.
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 Thank you.
Balcony's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.